Our scripture reading will be from Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. And the word of God said, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived.
Are we there yet? That draining, annoying, stressful question that kids often ask their parents when the journey just seems to keep going on and on and on. Maybe you felt that way recently. A few weeks ago, I talked about in a sermon about how sometimes we'll go on a hike, and at the beginning of the hike, everybody's singing, everybody's laughing, everybody's telling stories, and then there's a point in the hike where we stop telling stories, we stop singing, nobody's laughing because we're all sucking wind, because we're getting to this point, I call it the reality check moment, where we realize, whoa, this hike's going to be really hard. This is going to be really challenging. Well, there's another moment that happens on a hike that I'm going to call the done moment. This is the moment where you're just done. You are done with this hike. You are tired of this. You are frustrated. You don't even know why you went on this hike. You don't think there's anything good about this. I mean, you're just done. You are done. It's that moment in the hike when you think that the end is just going to be around the corner, and every time you go around the corner, it's not there. You go around another, and it's not there. It keeps being farther and farther away to where you start to wonder, are we lost? Like, where are we? Like, why are we even out here? You start to have those kinds of questions in your mind. The done moment. Anybody been there before? Had a done moment? Okay, you identify. Well, I'm glad you've had a moment. I'm not glad you had that moment, but I'm glad you've had that experience, because that's going to help you identify with the people of Israel in our story today in Numbers 21. If you have your Bible, please open to Numbers 21. So we're studying this book of Numbers that tells the story of Israel journeying from Sinai to the land of Canaan, but they got to go through the wilderness. And we're studying it because we're kind of in a wilderness because of this pandemic, and we want to navigate this faithfully. And so we're studying this book to learn how to navigate a wilderness faithfully. Well, in Numbers 21, at this point, Israel has been in the wilderness for quite a while. In fact, last week, if you remember last week, we talked about Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where they were really close to the land of Canaan, but because of their fear, the Lord says, no, you got to go back to the wilderness. And so they go back into the wilderness, and they've been walking around for several years now. And several things have happened since they've been in the wilderness recently. Number one, people have died. Miriam has died. Now Aaron has died. There have been other members of the nation of Israel that have died because they've been walking around the wilderness. Number two, they've continued to grumble and complain. In fact, just recently they were grumbling about water. That's where Moses struck the rock to give them water, and Moses wasn't supposed to strike the rock, and so he got in trouble from God. But they're continuing to grumble and they're continuing to complain. But then number three, what's happening is that they're going around in circles. They're going around in circles. At the end of Numbers 21, we have a travel report where we have a list of some of the places that they've gone. And it's fascinating because some of the places that are mentioned, nobody knows where they are. One of them is Waheb of Sufa. Go to any Bible map anywhere and look up Waheb of Sufa. It's probably not going to be there because nobody knows where it is, because they're in the middle of nowhere. They're just going around in circles, getting around in circles. And as they're doing this, they're starting to get tired. But they have been learning, and they have been growing, And they have been changing, because that's what happens in the wilderness. We grow and we change. And we see a picture of that at the very beginning of Numbers 21. In the very first verses of Numbers 21, it says that some Canaanites actually came out to attack Israel. And Israel responds better. They don't act like they're grasshoppers before these giants. No, they trust in the Lord, and they fight, and God gives them victory. It's kind of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen down the road. That the future, it's almost here. That they're going to be at a point where they're going to be able to enter Canaan, and they're going to have faith, and God's going to give them victory. But they're not there yet. And that future just seems to keep getting farther and farther away. In fact, in chapter 20, we have the story where Israel's wanting to cut through Edom. Edom was a nation that was just south east of Canaan. And they want to cut through Edom because this is a shortcut, and this will allow them to get to Canaan faster. And so they ask the king of Edom, "Hey, can we cut through your land? And we won't do anything. We won't harm anybody. We won't even water any of our animals. Can we just cut through?" And the king's like, "Nope. No trespassing for you." "But we won't do anything. Promise, we won't do anything." "Nope, you cannot trespass through this land." So they've got to go around Edom. And it's just made the journey longer. A long journey has gotten longer. And as they're going around in circles on this long, long journey, Israel is getting tired. They're getting frustrated. Their feet are aching. Their legs are getting sore. They're starting to not like one another. They're just getting to that point where they are done. And they're asking the question, "Are we there yet?" In a word, they've become impatient. Numbers 21, verse 4, "But the people grew impatient on the way." Maybe you've felt that way in regards to COVID. That you're just done. You're tired of masks. You're tired of social distancing. You're tired of being careful. You're tired of being cautious. You're just done. You're done. You want this journey to be over. And yet it seems like every time that the journey seems to be getting close, "Oh, we got to go a little farther. We got to go a little farther. It's going to take a couple more months." Even this past week, we had this announcement from the governor, and maybe some of us were excited that, okay, maybe the future's going to come closer than we think. There are some of us who are thinking, "Oh no, the future's going to be much longer now because the virus is going to keep spreading." But whatever your position is on that, I think we probably could all agree that we all want this to be done. We're at our done moment, and we want it to be done, and we're impatient, and we're wishing that this pandemic was over. Anybody give me an amen on that? But there are other things that we can get impatient about, other situations that where we can have a done moment. I have a little list here. Maybe you identify with some of these situations. Number one, waiting at a doctor's office. I'm sorry to all of our healthcare workers. I know you do the very best job you can to stay on time. But we probably all had that experience where we've been waiting, and we're supposed to go to our appointment, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and finally we're like, "I'm just going to do this another day. I'm done." Number two, waiting for a movie to start. Now, we haven't had this experience probably in a year, but maybe you remember sitting in a movie theater, "Okay, let's get the previews over because I'm ready. I'm ready for this to start." Number three, waiting for someone to text you back. Maybe you've texted someone, they didn't text you back, and finally you're like, "I'm done with that person because they never text me back." Number four, waiting for your Amazon package to arrive. Don't you hate it when you buy something online and they say, "Here's your shipment window. It's March 1st to March 31st. Okay, I'm done with that. I'm moving on. Number five, waiting in traffic. If you're like me, you probably had a moment where you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. So finally, you pull off onto a side road and go the back road, and it doesn't save you any time, but you do it anyways because you're just done. You're done waiting on this road. Or number six, waiting on hold when you call AT&T. I'm not even going to talk about that. But we all We all know this feeling of just wanting whatever it is, whatever difficult situation, just wanting it to be over, just wanting it to be done, feeling impatient. Well, the problem about being impatient is that when we get that impatient feeling, we often say things and do things that we regret. And that's what happens in Numbers 21. The people of Israel, because they are done, they start to grumble and complain again. And it's kind of like the same song, different verse. Why did you have to bring us out of Egypt? There's no water. There's no food. We don't like manna. Which there's a part of me that wants to say, Israel, really? I mean, are you going to talk about this again? Really? We've already talked about this several times, that you don't like having been brought out of Egypt. There was all this wonderful food in Egypt. And all we got is manna. Really? Are you going to talk about it again? But see, that's what happens. When you get tired and when you get frustrated, you bring up old issues. You bring up things that you've already talked about and we thought were already resolved, but we bring them back up because we're tired and we're done. And so as Israel begins to grumble and complain again, God is not happy. And as we've seen in Numbers, whenever God's anger is kindled, there's going to be punishment. And this time the punishment is really severe. He sends fiery snakes. And they come in to the people and they start to bite the people. And the people have wounds and they hurt. Some of them start dying. And you might think, well, is God becoming impatient? Is God saying, I'm done with you, people of Israel? Here's some snakes. Well, I think there's a couple of deeper things going on. Number one, I want you to notice that when Israel complained, it says in Numbers 21 that what they did is they spoke against God. This is the first time in the book of Numbers where it says Israel spoke against God. They complained, they had grumbled, they had lamented, but this time they actually speak against the Lord. They slander the Lord. And what they're doing in that moment is they are rebelling against God. They are basically telling God, we are losing faith. We don't have faith anymore in you. And when the people of Israel declare to a holy God that they don't have faith in him, they want to rebel against him, there's going to be punishment. And the way that God handles punishment most of the time is he gives his people what they want. He gives them what they want. And so he gives them snakes. Think about that for a second. When we see snakes, what does that remind us of? It reminds us of the story in Genesis 3 where a serpent came to Eve and tricked Eve and enticed her to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that fruit, so that she could be like God. And as she ate that fruit, she was declaring to God that I don't need you, God. I'm going to be independent. I'm going to be autonomous. I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to walk a different path. That's what Israel was saying. Israel was saying, Lord, we don't want to follow your cloud anymore. We don't want to follow your pillar of fire anymore. We want to be our own. We want to be autonomous. And the Lord said, okay, if you want to choose the way of the serpent, like Eve did, here you go. Here are some serpents. Here are some serpents. But whenever you choose the way of the serpent, whenever you choose to go against God, to be autonomous and to chart your own path, what happens is it starts to become a path of destruction. Because sin bites. It bites, and it hurts, and it's painful, and it brings wounds. And at some point, we wise up. At some point, God gives us enough grace to see, I am in a lot of pain, and I'm causing a lot of other people pain, because sin and all of its destructive things are wreaking havoc on my life. And whenever we come to that conclusion, the one thing that we have to do, the starting point that we have to go to, is we have to confess our sin. We have to confess it before God and before the church. And Israel gets to that point. With wounds on their arms and legs, they confess their sin. They go to Moses and say, "We've sinned. We've spoken against God. We should not have done that. Please pray for us." So Moses begins to intercede for the people. And as he intercedes for them, the Lord tells Moses to do something really strange, really peculiar. He says, "I want you to make a bronze serpent. I want you to put it on a pole, and I want to have everybody look at that bronze serpent, and then they'll live." Now, what's God doing here? This is so strange. Some scholars have wondered, well, maybe God's doing some kind of cultic magic ritual. After all, in the ancient Near East, if there was some animal that was harming you, one thing you could do is make a little figurine, and that figurine of that animal, and it would protect you in some way. Is that what God's doing here? I think there's something much deeper going on here. That the Lord is using a cultural symbol to bring healing to a hurting people. Because the power of healing was not found in the pole. The power of healing was found in the Savior behind the pole. And here we see grace in the wilderness. That even though the people have sinned, and even though God has judged them, still the Lord gives grace. And he says, here's a way that you can be healed. But in order to access that grace, you have to have faith. That they weren't healed at the snap of their fingers. They weren't just healed because God said it. Instead, what they had to do is they had to get out of their tent, they had to walk to the center of the camp, and they had to look at that pole. They had to demonstrate their faith in the power of God to heal them. They had to go and they had to look at the pole. I really like how one writer described this moment. He said, "When a snake bites you, you look down. But if they were going to be healed by the Lord, they had to look up." And maybe that was a really good metaphor for where Israel was. That they were walking through the wilderness and they were tired and they were sad and they were frustrated and they were done. And so they were looking down. And the Lord says, "I'm still here. And I still have grace for you. And I still have hope for you. And I still have healing for you. But you need to look up." And maybe that's the wilderness message or lesson that we need to hear this morning. That it's so easy right now. It's so easy right now for us to look down. It's so easy for us to get focused on our trials and our problems and our sufferings and all the ways that life is hard right now and all the ways that we're struggling, all the ways that we're frustrated, all the ways that we're just done. We're done. We're done. And the Lord says, there's grace in the wilderness. There's still healing in the wilderness. There's still hope in the wilderness. But you got to look up. You got to look up. You know, I think it's very fascinating about this story, Numbers 21, that God never takes away the snakes. Did you catch that? That Moses prays for the people. The Lord tells Moses what to do, to make the bronze serpent, put it on the pole. But it never says that the Lord takes away the snakes. And it's a reminder to us that sometimes the Lord doesn't take away our snakes. The Lord gives us grace to deal with our snakes. That's precisely what happened to the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, he prayed, it said three times, because he has a thorn in his side, a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan who was tormenting him. And so he prayed, "Lord, take away the snake, take away the snake, take away the snake." And the Lord didn't answer his prayer. Instead, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I know all of us, we want to pray, "Lord, take away the wilderness. Lord, take away the sickness. Lord, take away the death. Take away the struggles. Take away the trials. Take away the hardships. Take away the difficult times. And sometimes the Lord does that, and we pray, and sometimes the Lord does take those things away. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he says, you're just going to have to trust my grace. And how do we find the ability to trust in the grace of God? Well, we look up. We look up. This past Sunday, I spoke at the funeral of Kevin Fitzgerald. Some of you know the Fitzgerald family. It was a very hard funeral. Kevin was my age. He had a wife and three little kids. Struggled with a 7.5-year battle with brain cancer, and then eventually succumbed to that, leaving behind now his wife and kids. And it's hard. It's hard when you hear, heartbreaking, when you hear a story like that, because you know those kids are going to grow up longing for their dad. And so Lindsay and I went to visit Kevin about 3 weeks before the funeral to try to figure out what does Kevin want us to say? What does he want me to say at this funeral? And at that time, Kevin was, he was in a wheelchair. He was hardly eating. His head was all swollen up because of the treatments that he had been receiving. And he couldn't talk. His voice had left him. All he could do was just barely whisper. He could just eke out words. And I asked Kevin, I said, okay, what do you want me to say at your funeral? What is the one thing you want me to get across? And he was able to eke out two words. He said, have faith. Have faith. And he wanted his wife and his children and all those he was leaving behind to know, have faith. And when the journey gets hard, have faith. When the wilderness is difficult, have faith. When you're ready to give up, have faith. When you are at your done moment, have faith. Have faith, have faith, have faith. Because there's still grace in the wilderness. There's still hope in the wilderness. There's still healing in the wilderness. We just gotta look up. Gotta look up. And thanks be to God. We don't have to look up at a pole with a snake on a stick. We can look up to a cross. Jesus said to Nicodemus that just like Moses lifted up that bronze serpent in the wilderness, so I will be lifted up. And he would go on to say, and when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And each one of us, as the body of Christ here at Southside, as we look up to the cross, we are reminded that our sin has been atoned for, and there's grace. We are reminded that there is healing for our soul. And we're reminded that there is hope because Christ has defeated the enemy. And so no matter what struggles we walk through in the wilderness, we know there is grace for us here because we just have to look up at the cross and have faith. And maybe you're struggling right now to have that faith, to hold on, to look up and to see the cross. We want to help you this morning. We're going to have a time invitation. We're going to have ministers and elders up here at the front. If we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, if the journey for you has been hard lately, we want to lift you up. We want to look up together to Christ. And so we want to do that with you at this time, to have a time of prayer. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to help you do that, make arrangements for that. Just please come now as together we stand.